these things sound radical compared to where we are, but where we are is not a good thing. And this idea of like 10% better from garbage is shouldn't be what we settle for. It's like this, like, it feels like moderate is not a stance, it's just an attitude toward life of like,
So America is garbage, according to AOC, never mind the highest standard of living, the fact that our poor people are rich by global and historical standards. Thanks, AOC.
I can't talk about her anymore. I just can't do it. But
she got them realtor eyes.
Yeah, no kidding.
She got them.
All that's required a good talk show host for evil to triumph is their silence, Jack.
But the overall movement I'm interested in. So a couple of examples.
Bug-eyed biatch.
Watching Franken Hickenlooper, who's running for president. I saw the first interview with him, and he's a pretty impressive guy. But he was asked the question last week, are you a capitalist? And he hummed and hawed around and never got around to yes.
Lapping hacker.
So now he's done like three interviews since in which he's asked, are you a capitalist? And he still hums and haws around and never gets to yes, because I guarantee I know why. He's clearly a capitalist. He's started, I think, 20 small businesses in his life.
Oh,
been
wow.
Successful. But he doesn't think you can get the nomination in the Democratic Party by coming out and saying you're a capitalist. So he's going to hedge that if he can get away with it. And then if he won the general election, then he could come out and say he's a capitalist, because being a socialist polls very, very low. But I find that really interesting. And then you got Howard Schultz from a Starbucks said, my God, if you can't even say you're a capitalist out loud and get the nomination in the Democratic Party, that's a party that's going to lose to Trump. That's more or less what Schultz is saying.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got this. So three candidates or four have at least signaled they kind of like reparations. Several of them have just come out for reparations. Does everybody know what reparations is? This was a hot talk radio topic many years ago. It's the idea that the reason black people in America are still making less money than white people on average, it's because of slavery. And the only way you can right that balance is reparations. Somehow, and this is where the rubber meets the road.
Oh, boy.
And this is where it gets complicated.
It's very rubbery.
You're going to take money from someone and give it to black people to fix the problems of slavery. First of all, you have to buy the idea that blacks on average make less money than whites because of slavery. And that's a very complicated notion. We could get into that or not. But
yeah.
And then who do you take money from, and then who do you give it to? And
exactly. Well, yeah, just for instance, so you're taking a bunch of money from people whose families weren't even in this country, or were serfs in England, or starving Irishmen, or your lower castes in India, or whatever. And they're in this country, so now you whack them for a bunch of money, and you give it to anybody of a darkish hue who may, their family just came from Ethiopia 6 months ago, or is very successful, or whatever, or were never a slave, or what have you. And it's just, it's ridiculous. It is utterly ridiculous to think that could happen. And the other argument go ahead. You got something on that?
Because
the other argument's even a better one.
But it's now being seriously discussed.
Nah,
so Bernie Sanders,
go nowhere. It's pandering.
Bernie Sanders, last time around, when he was running against Hillary, was asked about reparations, and he said he was not for it. So now that several candidates
have
come out for it.
Each black person gets $27.
He said the other day, I'm not into the reparations thing. I want I want an economic policy that uplifts everybody, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That sort of answer.
Where he got... He's a white man. He's white. Look at him. He's white. Bigotry's okay against some people.
Julian Castro is running for president. He blasted Bernie Sanders for being too soft and not coming out forcefully enough for reparations. Bernie's for all these different programs, but he doesn't want to help people who are suffering from the sins of slavery. If he were president, he'd address the original sin of slavery by appointing a commission to consider how to best handle reparations. If under the Constitution we compensate people because we take their property, why wouldn't we compensate people who actually were property? Then I came across this article in the New York Times. David Brooks, the so-called conservative who writes for the New York Times.
Well, by their standards, he is, but go on.
The case for reparations, a slow convert to the cause. Mm. He has come around to the idea that reparations are a good idea. So you've got four candidates that are running on reparations are a good idea, wow. And one columnist in the New York Times, at least one.
I got to read the David Brooks piece, but that's absurd. It's absurd. It's pandering. It's showing. It's virtue signaling. And it could never happen. It's just so wildly impractical. And the other argument against it.
If your white family came here in the 20th century, like so many white families did,
right.
From all over the place, how much money are you supposed to pay?
Well,
you had nothing to do with slavery.
But again, it's not just white people. How about first generation Americans from Mexico? They might have been slaves of the Aztecs or, you know, the put upon indigenous people of Central America. Rough stuff during the, you know, 19th and 20th centuries. But no, they're going to have their pocket dug into it. It's idiotic. The other argument against it is there have been trillions and trillions of dollars spent on welfare, affirmative action, money for education, money for job training, 1,000 different programs to elevate black Americans. From, you know, the Great Society on, not to minimize the horrors of slavery, of Jim Crow, of the pre-civil rights
Joe's
era.
Joe's minimizing slavery.
Of enduring racism today. Not for a second. Reparations is idiotic and unimplementable, and trillions have already been spent. So, you know.
But so here's my ultimate point in bringing all this up.
Okay.
You got AOC saying whatever the country is currently garbage.
America is garbage, according to AOC.
And you got a serious handful of candidates running on reparations, and you can't say you're a capitalist out loud. I think that whole thing is going to peak early. If you're a Republican or a Trump supporter or whatever, and you're getting all excited and think, wow, they're going to run somebody that's so far left, they don't have a chance of beating Trump. Because if you run somebody that can't say I'm a capitalist out loud and is in favor of reparations, that person will not beat Donald Trump.
No.
Not a freaking
chance. They'll lose by 30 points.
Chance. Yeah. Not a freaking chance. I think it's going to peak too early. I think all this noise and everything like that for that small-ish segment of the Democratic Party.
It's the crazy 5% running the conversation.
That's got all the energy right now. That's just, it's going to get blown up by the rich and the powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it should get blown up by the rich and the powerful. And they'll take it back. I heard somebody who worked on, who was the guy who said, we're going to go to Iowa. We're going to go to,
Howard Dean?
Howard Dean. He was the Bernie Sanders of 2004, I think it was. I represent the liberal wing of the Democratic Party. And people cheering and going crazy like that.
That's when he stepped on a nail.
People that were
God he had his tetanus shot.
People that were in that campaign, they got the message. They figured out that the Democratic Party got scared and thought, if we run him, we're going to get killed.
Mm.
He's got all the energy. All the young people love him. He's exciting for the base. We'd get killed if we ran him. Now, they ended up losing anyway with John Kerry, I think, won that time around. But, I think the Nancy Pelosi's, the money people, the whoever, they're going to step in and assert their authority at some point.
I had a conversation about this over the weekend. Who is most threatened and most immediately threatened by the AOC wing? And it came up because allegedly Nancy Pelosi totally lost control of the big caucus meeting the other day when they were talking about what was the big issue for a cup of coffee?
It was the whole Muslim bad-mouthing Jews thing.
Oh, right, the anti-Semitism thing where they couldn't, you know, they ended up passing this milquetoast resolution that was against meanness in all its forms after they've got several of their folks, you know, spouting anti-Semitism. But she had lost control of the meeting by all accounts.
Really?
Well, that's what I hear. And then, so it seems to me most immediately and significantly, the moderate wing of the Democratic Party is most threatened by the leftist firebrands. And Nancy Pelosi did not get where she is by being kind and gentle and accepting things as they come.
No, she did it by drinking the tears of her 20-something staff in some sort of weird energy-stealing ritual.
Right, exactly. They say she's 77. She's actually 177. And has been gifted by Satan with eternal life. But so, I think there is a moment coming or a series of moments coming where the temporarily cowed and complacent or complicit moderate wing lashes back and squashes the young firebrands before it dooms them all.
Right.
But we'll see.
Even of the freshman class, it's been pointed out by a bunch of pundits. Look, even of the freshman class of Democrats, all the people in white and everything like that, almost all of them are moderates.
Oh, yeah.
It's the
blue wave was almost entirely moderate.
Yeah, it was. AOC is an outlier among that new group. She's not a representative of that new group.
She got 16,000 votes, 18,000,
and she's one of the people in one of those safe districts where she can't lose. All these moderates, some of them, they won Republican seats in a lot of places, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They can't go out there on that limb. Anyway, I think this is going to be a short burst that's exciting. I would love for an AOC type candidate to run against Trump. That would be fantastic for me. I just don't think it's going to happen. Mm. I just don't think that's where we're going.
Yeah. We'll see, though, because the populace got their way when it turned out Hillary was fixing everything against Bernie. They got all mad and said the superdelegates, the party elders, they don't get a say anymore. They don't get the same say. It's the people. The people's voice, Jack.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to listen to, and that's how we're going to choose our nominee. So let's see.
Got to be careful making any predictions in this current climate, because none of the past matters anymore.
It's a
whole new world. Saturday Night Live, super politically incorrect on Saturday night.
What?
I thought it was hilarious. Got a clip of that coming up.
It wasn't just an hour and a half of Trump is stupid?
On the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation.
Remember, as you're enjoying this fabulous podcast of the radio show, you can also get the Armstrong and Getty One More Thing podcast and Armstrong and Getty Extra Large, our long-form interviews, available via the iTunes podcast app and the iHeart app.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
This is fantastic. Hanson, we might have to find a way to put this on a screen somewhere so we look at it every day. Washington Post as a who led Twitter account. Who was leading in the polls at this time last time around or various other times in elections? So with 603 days to go.
That's how many we have to the election?
Yeah.
You got to give me a minute. You got to give everybody a minute. Oh my God.
So in three days, we'll be 600 days away.
Yes. 603 days.
Let me come to terms with that.
On the other hand, we're 3 months from the first debate.
Sure.
So, but
that reminds me, I got to tell you the story about the robot who told the family granddad's dying.
Yes, I want to hear that.
He didn't struggle much.
So it didn't go down like that.
In 2008, Hillary Clinton was ahead by 12 points.
Okay.
On the Dem side and the GOP,
Barrick got her.
Giuliani was up by 16 points.
President Giuliani, you mean?
And he never even ran. He never even actually ran.
Right.
He didn't get enough support.
Well, didn't he have that brilliant, I'm going to skip the first three primaries.
Yeah. And by then he was out.
Right.
2012, Romney was up by 8.8 in 2012.
Okay.
And Hillary Clinton was up by 53.
Managed to eke out a victory.
So, 2016, Walker was up by 0.4 points.
That's when
time.
I was a talker for Walker. Remember that?
Yeah.
He had my support.
And he never really got going either.
Well, anyway. He had his moment. Turned out he was bad at it.
This from Saturday Night Live. Once again, it's a game show format. And the game show is, can I play that or can you play that? The idea is, can actors play various roles? And it's based on the ridiculous story we talked about last week that Will Smith is not black enough to play what role?
The father of the Williams sisters.
Okay, yes. They're going to make a movie about Venus and Serena Williams' dad.
Yes.
Somebody pegged Will Smith and there was an outcry that he's not black enough.
Like too light-skinned or like too middle class.
No, too light skinned is what the criticism is.
Yeah, I know. I've heard the term not black enough applied to a number of different things, but okay, too light skinned. Okay.
But they were using the ridiculous. Saturday Night Live clearly thought that was ridiculous.
Right.
And this game shows you got three actors up there and you ask them, could you play this role or who could play this role?
Cool.
That's the game show.
Our first role is blind person. Can you play it?
Yeah, I can play that.
Oof.
What?
Wow. God took their sight, and now you want to take their job.
No. Wait a second. Isn't that what acting is about, you know, becoming someone you're not?
Not anymore, no. Now it's about becoming yourself, but with a different haircut. Okay, next role, astronaut.
No, I cannot play that.
Wait, why can't he play that?
Well, I just sensed it was a trap.
And it was. The astronaut was secretly Mexican all along.
Secretly?
That's right. The astronaut seemed white the whole movie, but in the last scene, when he gets back from Jupiter, he does 23andMe and discovers that he's 5% Mexican.
Oh, man, that would have been no bueno.
Watch it. Okay, now, what about Caitlyn Jenner in the Caitlyn Jenner biopic?
Okay, I can't play that.
That's correct. Bonus follow-up question, who could play Caitlyn Jenner?
No one.
That is correct. It is an impossible movie to make. I dare someone to try.
All right. Oh, that's great.
And that's probably true. In the current climate, you could not make a Caitlyn Jenner movie.
Right.
Unless she or another, boy, it'd have to be the same age, also trans from man to woman.
Well, it was like that story I told you end of last week about this guy who is one of the global leaders in Twitter terrorizing young adult literature books for not being woke enough. And this guy finally went ahead and put out his crazy woke book, and his so woke they've never slept crowd managed to find a flaw in his book and so savagely attacked him the publishers had to withdraw it. And it was one of several that had to be withdrawn because this howling, rabid cabal of politically correct jackals had so torn him apart. It's just, I'm loving this.
Nobody could make that movie. I dare someone to try.
I'm sorry. I always, what's his name?
Kenan Thompson.
Kenan Thompson. I always think I get to Kenan, then I think Ivory Wayans. Kenan Thompson is so damned funny.
He might be the best person that's ever been on Saturday Night Live.
He's in the conversation. Well, and he's just such a pro. I mean, in that R. Kelly sketch, the gal was stumbling, fumbling, bumbling. It was almost distracting. Keenan was just gold, as always.
What's coming up in your news, Marshall?
Well, a crisis in Venezuela, not letting up, electricity out, no food, no medicine, getting worse with each passing minute.
Ah, socialism.
Getting government benefits, are you? Well, watch out. The feds are watching you. And year-round daylight saving time just got a huge boost.
Yes!
Coming up.
Yes, finally!
That's my jihad. And then we got some other stuff we got to get into on the Armstrong and Getty Show. I wonder what's going on in the world. We'll find out with Marsha Phillips.
Venezuelans are waking up to a fifth day without power today.
And that reminds me of a joke I heard over the weekend. This is the Democrats just announced they're going to have their convention in Milwaukee.
Yes. That's fine, Midwestern town. Love it.
But I saw one of the pundits say yesterday, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't have their convention in Venezuela.
Wow.
Anyway, back to you. Back to you. Venezuela has had no power for 5 days.
Yeah, they remain in the dark. And as far as disputed President Nicolas Maduro is concerned,
they're like the Republican Party in California.
Hey!
It took me a while. It was a bad timing and weak bunch of...
As far as Maduro is concerned, it's all our fault, as in the United States is responsible for the blackout. The national electrical system has been subject to multiple cyber attacks, he writes on Twitter. However, we are making huge efforts to restore stable and defensive supply in the coming hours. Now, that was yesterday. At last check, they are still out of luck. Meanwhile, you got White House National Security Advisor John Bolton insisting the momentum favors Maduro's opposition, Juan Guaido. On ABC's This Week, he said,
"The momentum is on the side of Guaido. I think the overwhelming support of the population and the overwhelming support of the enlisted personnel in the military and the junior officers."
Now, Bolton is also saying...
Yeah, maybe you're about to play this.
I was just going to say there's a reason Maduro hasn't moved against Guaido.
They have not sought to arrest Guaido and the National Assembly and the opposition. And I think one reason for that is that Maduro fears if he gave that order, it would not be obeyed.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. So the criticism was, as they were interviewing Bolton, you know, it looks like he's still got the support of the military. Only two people so far have flipped. And Bolton said, you're completely missing the point. And who was interviewing? It doesn't matter. Said, how am I missing the point? The fact that the army has not moved on the opposition shows you that he's lost the army.
Interesting.
Right. Because he can't order them to do that.
Wow. You know, that reminds me of something.
I thought that made perfectly good sense.
Greg, the fabulous dog trainer, taught us about training Baxter. Was that any time you give a command of a dog, it's a test. And if you fail the test, you've got a problem. If that dog does not obey, the power dynamics have changed, and you got to reestablish it all. For them to give that order and have it disobeyed, it's over. They would crumble from that moment on, and they're afraid to give that order. And I also like what Bolton's doing. This is just such great psychological warfare. When you're trying to go against a regime, everybody wants to know, who's thinking the same thing I am? Do I dare speak it? Do I dare even give a look? Do I let people know I'm ready to go with them? Because we're all thinking the same thing. And Bolton's out there saying, all the enlisted people are against, what's his name, Fetso. Everybody is against him. Trying to give them nerve.
Right.
Maduro is the...
Right.
He's trying to give them courage and trying to tell them, look around you. How about we all wink twice? Anybody who winks twice is with us. So we'll see how this one plays out.
Similar to what happened in Egypt when they sent the military into Tahrir Square and they would not attack all those protesters. Mm-hmm. And Mubarak was just screwed at that point.
The Social Security Administration has its eye on people's social media posts in an effort to try and crack down on fraud. For example, a person may be claiming disability benefits because of a back injury, but then they're shown playing baseball or golfing in a picture posted on Facebook. The feds have wised up to this, and they are watching social media accounts like a hawk.
I heard that happens quite a bit. Who did that happen to? Al Sharpton's daughter. Didn't she get busted for that?
Yeah, I think so. And insurance fraud gets busted that way, too, a lot. Although, I will say, I played golf, 3 weeks and a day after surgery?
Oh!
You know, I played gently and carefully, but it can be done. I mean, if you're claiming, like, grievous back problems, then okay, I see.
Well, on Social Security, they're saying, I can't go to work because my back, I'm in such bad shape. And then you're out playing golf.
Yeah,
well,
true
that. Yeah, if you weren't coming to work and we found out you were playing golf, we'd think, well, how come you can't go to work then?
Well, I hope you don't find out.
Making daylight saving time permanent is okay with President Trump.
Yes!
Trump has tweeted his preference for DST this morning. Some Florida lawmakers introduced legislation in the House and Senate to make DST permanent across the U.S.
How is this still a problem? How is this still a question?
Well, Jack, as the crops are harvested across the fruit and play, and it's important that we get up early in time for
I hate to do this because I'm tired of it myself, but hasn't somebody finally figured out...
It was World War I. It was actually the Kaiser who said that. It was Jimmy Carter's effort to... to save energy.
Didn't
and
have
indeed,
to do
it
with
was Hitler and his
lamp
need
oil
to invade the Seychelles Islands.
But so whatever it is, it's not.
The whale oil shortage of 1845. Right.
Whatever it is, it's not kids standing in the dark waiting for the bus or getting the crops in or whatever BS you've heard.
Meanwhile, word comes out once again that more of us are going to have heart attacks today. Every Monday after daylight. Yes. Every Monday after daylight saving time goes into effect, there's a 24% jump in heart attack cases reported at hospitals across the country or wherever the change occurs.
Wow, good Lord.
I wouldn't think 1 hour difference of sleep would give you a heart attack.
Yep. Researchers say it is likely the effect of losing that hour.
You don't ever have to get up a little early for a meeting or anything like that? You think, oh boy, I got a meeting early on Thursday.
Tick.
Hope
tick,
I don't die.
Tick. Tick.
What?
Researchers say it is likely.
Hey, we're going fishing this weekend. Probable heart attack. 25% higher. Tell you what.
If there's four of you and you're going fishing early on Saturday, one of you will die.
Yeah. Let's see. Jimmy's got the rods and the tackle. John's got the cooler full of beer and food. I'm bringing me the paddles in case we got to put the paddles to anybody. Clear!
Researchers say it is likely the effect of losing an hour of sleep.
That just
when the
doesn't make any sense to me. That can't be true.
It's a terrible risk, Jack.
That can't be true.
The data is published in the BMJ.
Yeah. You know better than the BMJ?
So go ahead and look it up.
If we were that easily killed by getting up early, wouldn't there be no fishing trips, ski trips, band practice that we used to have once a week early, marching band practice, I remember that as a kid, whatever.
Wars would be fought with wake-up calls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Boy, on some of the weekend news programs, they were certainly gushing over this. actress Jennifer Lopez and baseball slugger Alex Rodriguez confirming they are getting married.
They are the most annoying people on earth.
Wow, as a couple?
As a couple.
Okay.
They are so happy with themselves. And they've got that weird that it's usually, you know, blamed on millennials, but they're both 50. They have to put out on social media everything they do where they look hot.
Do they have an annoying nickname yet, like J-Rod or anything?
I haven't heard one. Not that I've heard catch on.
God, that's just the nature abhors a vacuum. They've got to have one.
Any character in any sort of movie that was the personification of vanity, they are the real-life versions of that.
Oh, my God. And I only see these because the New York Post prints them for some reason when I'm looking through the news. But, like, this weekend, just enjoying my bae on the beach, and he's got a picture in her bikini, you know, sitting on the beach. And then she has a picture of him looking all studly playing volleyball. And just, who's that for? Who are you doing this for? Why don't you just look at each other? That's really a weird thing.
We're
so hot and 50. Look at us.
I met somebody recently who was the personification of better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. This person was very mysterious and quiet, and I thought standoffish and all. And then it was a her. I'll go ahead and admit it's a woman. And finally, for whatever reason, we began to converse.
Right.
And I found out that, this person is completely vacuous. All she wanted to talk about was celebrity news. And I thought, wow, I've actually met one of you. I'll bet she's fascinated by this.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Man, that's the last thing I get.
Going out to eat tonight, and J-Lo and A-Rod will have pictures of themselves looking super hot in their expensive stuff in front of their limo.
Did you see the picture of J-Rod and J-Lo and A-Rod and A-Lo going out to dinner? And I'll say, no, I didn't. Oh, my God, they look great, she would say.
So some people are into that.
I guess, yeah.
Because they don't need the clicks or the money. Right. They're both ungodly wealthy.
I'll tell you the story on this that I'm following. This is from Jose Canseco's Twitter account from about 14 hours ago.
Yes.
Alex Rodriguez, stop being a piece of S. He uses the real word because it's serious.
Yes.
Stop cheating on Jennifer Lopez. He then challenges A-Rod to a boxing or MMA match anytime he wants. And says that he'd take a polygraph to prove what he's saying is true.
What?
And if he doesn't line up that fight, he can't make his rent this month. So I know how Jose's working.
All right, that's your hot news wrap. I'm Marshall Phillips, the Armstrong and Getty Show, the conscience of the nation.
That's fantastic.
So imagine this. You're in the hospital. It's touch and go. Grandpa's very, very sick. And a robot wheels into the room and says, Grandpa's going to die, and then rolls out again.
That's not what I want.
It's a post-futuristic nightmare, and it happened.
Wow. Okay. Stay tuned to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
How can you possibly claim Manafort lived a blameless life? He's being sentenced for another crime next week. And it's a crime he committed while on house arrest for a third crime.
Yeah, we weren't here Friday, so we missed the Manafort sentencing story, which is interesting. I know that everybody in the world was predicting, you know, many, 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 many years, and he got around four, and the judge did say that because of he's lived an exemplary life up to this point. Who thinks that? Does anybody think that?
Seems odd.
Nobody thinks that.
Is he like a hobbyist ostrich tailor? He just wants to keep the people out there buying his stuff.
I know this is an extraordinary sentence, especially coming out of me. More A-Rod J-Lo news. Here's the other tweet from Jose Canseco. You read one of the tweets, Sean. This tweet also from yesterday? Watching World of Dance, watching J-Lo text Alex Rodriguez. Little does she know that he's cheating on her with my ex-wife, Jessica. Poor girl, she has no idea who he really is.
Wow! Wow, so that's something.
He probably would know if A-Rod was sleeping with his ex-wife.
Maybe, or he's a jealous lunatic.
We'll see.
Although
he doesn't come across as sane very much.
I wonder if this is why there were way more J-Lo A-Rod pictures in the New York Post over the weekend. There's rumors out there they're cheating, so they had to put out a whole bunch of Here We Are in Love pictures. Somehow.
For whom?
For the people who give
for the is she cheating jury or is he cheating?
Those celebrity couples seem to really be concerned about what we all think of them.
You know, when I hear the phrase Jose Canseco's ex-wife, I do see somebody who would probably take a role in the hay with A-Rod. Oh, yeah.
That reminds me the joke Colin Jost had on Saturday Night Live. Paul Manafort, who looks like he was born divorced, which I thought was a funny phrase.
Wow. That's an interesting joke.
And last week he said,
wow, that's good.
Michael Cohen, who looks like he shaves in his car.
Says who?
Also a good descriptor.
Says Colin Jost. He just said that. Just told you who said it.
Looked like he was born divorced.
Okay. Hospital in California drawing controversy after using a robot to deliver end-of-life news to a patient. Ernest Quintana was admitted to the Kaiser Permanente Medical Center Emergency Department in Fremont, California. According to the granddaughter, family knew he was dying of chronic lung disease. After an initial diagnosis, follow-up visit was made to Quintana's intensive care unit by a machine accompanied by a nurse. The robot, as the family refers to the machine, displayed a video of a remote doctor who communicated with the old man.
I'm here at the golf course. I think you're going to die. Any questions?
Now, do we know what...
You look to be dying to me.
How this robot looked? Because all I'm picturing...
Roll over a little bit. Nah, you're dying.
All I'm picturing is Johnny Five from the 1980s movie Short Circuit coming in to deliver this news. Is it a more modern version?
A silver cylinder with, like, vacuum cleaner arm? And
danger. Inexplicably, his arms were waving the entire time. Death. No, it's actually, there's a picture of it, but it won't stop. Stop it. The USA Today website is unusable.
But so he was FaceTiming the doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing. Okay.
Exactly. Michael, make it so I can play audio. The website's freaking out here, but they actually videotaped it. Okay, there you go. Turn it down.
Turn it off. I don't want to hear it.
It's an ad for a bank that claims to not be crooked anymore. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, and employees behind the scenes say that's not true, Wells Fargo. That was an article in the New York Times over the weekend. Right, pretty interesting.
Go ahead, Michael. Here we go. I wasn't going to name the bank because they have lawyers. Sue Jack, not Joe. Joe's an honest fella.
The reason your heart rate's so fast is that you're struggling to breathe.
Yeah, are you going to do anything to fix that?
No.
I'm going to play you some nice orchestral music. And so the old granddad has all these tubes and stuff in his face and all is struggling to breathe. And it's a doctor on a video screen on top of a rolling robot.
Now, was the robot the one playing the James Cameron score in the background or what was going on? Because I don't think that's appropriate.
Accounts differ. And so you got a video screen on top of a rolling robot and it's this doctor. Who's saying, you're not going to get home from hospice care. I mean, there's no point in you even going because, look, granddad, the long and short of it is, do you know a good undertaker?
Jeez,
and the family considers it really insensitive that they didn't send a real human being.
Yes, I would, too. Especially since you're probably paying $1 million.
I'm trying to decide whether I could tell the story.
I'm sure it's fine.
No, I really can't. I know some people who would not be shocked that happened at a Kaiser Permanente hospital, but those people are irresponsible and should not be listened to. Let's see. Said the family, if you're coming to tell us normal news, that's fine. But if you're coming to tell us there's no lung left and we want to put you on a morphine drip until you die, it should be done by a human being, not a machine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The hospital's spokesperson said the situation was highly unusual and said, and I quote, "We regret falling short of the patient's expectations."
What? Yeah. You fell a little short of my expectations of having a human being tell me I'm going to die and not a robot.
The evening video televisit was a follow-up to earlier physician visits.
It's a televisit.
It did not replace previous conversations with family and patient members and not being used in the delivery of the final diagnosis. The family says, yeah, that apology wasn't very good. It wasn't even clearly identifiable as an apology. We regret falling short of the patient's expectations.
Yeah, I love the modern lawyer-written non-apology because they don't want to admit to any wrongdoing.
Right. Which, you know, I'm mocking the spokeshole, but if that is what that person is employed to do, listen, if the doctor comes into the hospital room with a hatchet and attacks the patient unprovoked and hacks them to death, we need you to say, we regret falling short of the patient's expectations by hacking them to death.
Barbaric.
I could see this being the future. I mean, that's fine for most stuff. You know, wheel the thing in there and some great doctor somewhere.
Right.
You know, maybe you get better doctors that way or more doctors and less, you know, whoever those people are that are coming in. That I don't know what their training is. But if when you get down to the nitty-gritty, when you get down to the end of the we've done all we can for you, you got to send a person in for that.
Well, I regret falling short of the patient's expectations.
Wow, I can't believe he delivered that news through a computer.
What do you want me to commit suicide and have the robot tell my family?
It was really
unfortunate
that you could see the doctor. He was putting on sunscreen. His golf clubs were in the back.
He didn't know he was on video. He thought people were just listening.
Yeah,
right. You can see him putting the ice cubes in his cocktail. So anyway, I mean, we could send you to hospice, but there's no point in it.
Do we have more bitters?
We're gonna put you on morphine. Clink, clink, trickle, trickle. You feel all right for the, I don't know, like day and a half max.
Didn't the doctor feel weird delivering that news over a computer? You'd think he would.
What's he gonna do, reschedule his flight?
Yeah, well...
Look, we fell short of our patients' expectations. Does that make us bad people?
You're listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show.